Check, check, check. Microphone check. We're in the booth, and the vibe is still vibing. You can feel that everywhere.
Yeah.
Wonderful to get out of the car and see beautiful people like Joe Grammy cleaning up the house. I was impressed to see Cameron and Joe busting it out.
Yeah, out in the garden.
Out in the garden, cleaning things up. Thomas in the chair. And that chair is quite beautiful. I'm in it now, nice and warm. We've got 2 hours of community forum at the tail end of a 10-day epic drive with the most intense couple hours where we just bring it in.
Keeping the music going there?
Keeping the bring. I'm trying to figure out which
where it is.
Which,
where's the music coming from?
Oh, there it is. I love
the fish. Thomas left. Finished with fish.
That might be some fresh fish is in the air. So, Dove.
Yay.
Welcome.
Jimmy.
Thanks for holding down the fort.
Thanks for coming in and doing the talk show.
Yeah, well, you know.
Well, you're every other week, right?
I'm the alternative to Dave Giroux and Jonathan Jay, my out of the boxers.
Right.
Yeah, and we get a chance to invite community in. We've got Hoppe Hendricks, former candidate for mayor, joining us for a little Kauai political analysis of the.
Well, that won't be boring.
No, we should keep it lively. Phone number for folks who want to make a donation: 826-7774. Folks will answer. We'll take the information. We love and support your generosity.
Well, it's been really interesting over this past little while, hearing all the different political candidates on the air, live coming in here. And just want to make it clear that the opportunity for any of the political candidates on the county council to come in, we're welcome for any of them to come in. And we've reached out to all of them. They're all welcome to come in here and talk on the air. And it's equal... Equally, they're all equally welcome and asked to come in. So, just to make that clear, some of them I think feel more comfortable, and that's why they end up showing up.
Right.
Some of the county council members, they know where the station is. They've been here before, so they come in. But the invitation is open for any of the candidates for this election to come to the station and be here.
I appreciate that, Dove, for letting folks know out there. If you're a supporter, if you're a candidate, bring your folks in. I know Felicia was here on Tuesday talking with Carlos.
Right.
And
well, it just, you know, we have people that say, well, why do we support certain candidates and we don't support any particular candidates at all? We support all candidates,
yeah.
None more than others.
And
the invitation is open completely for any of them to walk in the door and be on the air. It's just some of them don't.
Some of them don't. They don't take us up on that offer.
They don't.
I don't know
if they're scared or they just don't want to be, you know, on live radio, unrehearsed, unscripted. And speaking of unrehearsed, here he is. How you doing?
Aloha, Kauai.
Mr.
Here we
Hendricks.
Go one more time.
Oh. Jimmy Hendricks is here.
It's Hoppe Hendricks. Right. Aloha, Kauai. Feel it's such an honor to be back on the Out of the Box show. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming. It was an interesting ride out from Kapa'a, and you know, we got phone calls already. Is that the case? Well, we'll just do that. I wanted to run my disclaimer, but I can't find it on the new cart. So I was going to have Celebrity Dove help me out with that one when it comes up. But we're going to take this phone call because this is a call-in show. And at 826-7771, you'll get online or on the air with us. Caller, you are live. I hope you're live. Caller, still there?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can now. There was a little glitch there, but I think we're good.
All righty. Well, thank you. You are one of our first callers. In fact, you are the first caller for this Out of the Box show.
I want to bring up something that you probably may not be aware of or have talked about before.
Please share.
Okay. It pertains to a couple of things. One, in an article in the paper, in the Garnaut paper yesterday, a former head of the DLNR enforcement who retired about 4 years ago.
That would have been Terry Lowe?
Yeah, it was indicted on like 30 counts of raping a child.
Yeah, I did. I don't know all the charges, but it's something to that effect. Yeah, and
yeah,
so you want to share more
that
information
is the
about
case.
That?
And the reason I'm bringing this up is that Terry Lowe was head of our DLNR enforcement. DLNR has no internal affairs. This man was given absolute impunity to arrest you, to stun you, to handcuff you, to take away all your civil rights.
Right.
And this man is an evil, evil man. I know that because I once received a phone call from him, from his director, because I called up the state enforcement chief to ask him questions about why all these people were driving on our beaches when it's against the law.
Right, right.
I got a call back from Mr. Love, who told me, well, he proceeded to announce that he was Kanaka and that he would do what he damn well pleased, and then he proceeded to threaten me in no uncertain terms.
Yeah. Caller, can you just hold off one? This is just for about 20 seconds, because I want to keep you on the line.
Okay,
so
sure.
Just hold on and bear with this. And listeners, please, I'm sorry for the brief and kind of abrupt segue, but here it goes.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, volunteers, board, or underwriters.
There you go, caller. So back to the,
sure.
if you will, description of your experience with Terry Lowe and the Department of Land and Natural Resources.
Well, what I'm telling you right now is I know that department inside and out, and there's a bunch of revolving bureaucrats that are appointed, such as Mr. Ivy Hill, and it revolves. A new chief of the state that has been interim and then finally settled on a former Maui DLNR officer himself to be the chief of police, who thinks these guys here are all his buddies. When I try to complain about Mr. Lowe's threats and all the way up to filing a complaint with the prosecuting attorney of the state within DLNR, I got no help at all saying he had threatened me. So you got this agency with over 200 cops out there with no internal affairs that only serves to protect their own. And because of Kauai being not on Oahu, they basically, you got a bunch of rogue agents here operating on their own who can arrest you. And guess what?
That's scary.
You know, in my experience, they lie and they do whatever they want to do, just like Mr. Lowe did. They have determined that it's their domain and they don't have to follow any laws but their own. They're corrupt, they're bad, and they need to be cleaned out. And we need an internal affairs in DLNR. People don't realize what risk you are of being losing all your civil rights because there's no internal affairs, there's no way to report bad officers, and these officers have proven themselves to be liars, thieves, and just bad character.
Well, I would certainly
all
think
the way
that
down the line.
Mm-hmm, I would certainly think that a lot of people would agree with your assessment after the charges that are alleged against Terry Lowe. I guess you know we are in this system where people are innocent until proven guilty. You might feel contrary to that.
Just to interrupt you, which I am doing. He threatened me, and I tried to report it, and I got no recourse, not one bit of help from DLNR when I brought this up. And maybe if they had listened to me before, they would have removed him and put him in his place before he had raped that girl all those times. And, you know, it's just if people here complain about their civil rights being taken away and they're worried about people listening, something so much evil and bigger is closer to home, and that's DLNR right now. And I support everybody in going to our next, hopefully, Democratic candidate, Mr. Ige, and letting him know about this is not acceptable on this island anymore, and he needs to take charge of this group.
Well, may I ask you, since you've already dealt with the agency, do you think that there is a need to go to another agency? Do you have
to have an independent overseer when there's a complaint lodged against their officers of misconduct.
Where do you take that? Where do you take your complaint? I mean, I understand that governor...
When I took it, my complaint, I took it first to the chief, state chief of officers, who now is, like I say, a former Maui officer who won't dare cross the blue line, who refers to these guys as his buddies.
Mm-hmm.
How can he make that? And he's refused to get involved, knowing that they're over here breaking the law.
Okay, so that seems like a dead end. Where else would you go?
Mr. Isla. There's only two steps. Mr. Isla, the head of the DLNR.
So William Isla, the director?
He's overwhelmed. He just cries like a little baby. I don't have any money. I don't have any money. I don't know if I'm going to pay my people. I, I don't even have money to go there and deal with.
You've had conversations with him.
He's overwhelmed by the bigness and his lack of experience in dealing in management that he doesn't know what to do, and he's been really useless.
Yeah, I mean...
Then you go to the governor, and when you... guess what? When you send an email to the governor, guess what? Well, this week we received 10,000 emails, and we'll be sure to get back to you. It may take some time. All they do... if I don't know if they have a program, if your thing says DLNR, all it does is get circumnavigated right back to DLNR where it gets ignored. It's a dysfunctional system. Abercrombie's the worst governor, and I'm a lifelong Democrat. He's asleep. He's a zombie. He doesn't care. He just delegates everything out and hopes it works while he sits around and getting fat in his mansion. So it pisses me off that these people won't even listen.
Yeah, I can see why.
I want to bring up one more thing to show you how the president...
Brother, you're on live. It's your phone call.
And I'll get off in just a second, because I know you don't like to keep people on a long time. But Mr. Francis Mission...
That'd be Francis Bully Mission.
They wrote an article in the paper where he stated it was legal to drive on these beaches. And he made all these... Oh, Kauai's an exception. It's okay to drive on the beach here. It's okay to drive at Poali. Well, the state law doesn't allow that at all. He made that up.
Mm-hmm.
When I called him on it on the state level, all they could say is he was misquoted. They never reprinted anything saying he wasn't misquoted. Also, Mr. Mission lied to me. Also, I had tape recordings of his men stating the policy was to allow people to drive on the beach, even though it's illegal. So he's a blatant liar. Mr. Mission, if you're listening, you're a blatant, cowardly liar. You don't have the courage to stand up and tell the truth. You know, it's the most dysfunctional organization that you've ever seen, and they can take away every one of your freedoms in a heartbeat.
It's just another, if you will, extension of the
environment to be destroyed by giving their friends illegal privileges, which destroy the environment. Riding around on a monster truck on the beach puts pollutants into the ocean, destroys the tiki crabs, interferes with nesting sea turtles, destroys erosion by killing the vines on the dunes. And this is according to Don Heacock, state marine biologist. And also the gentleman that you got out in Honolulu Bay exploring that, so the runoff from Black Pot Reef Beach does help kill those coral in Honolulu Bay. But guess who's allowing it? DLNR. Illegally. It's totally illegal. Joanne Yukimura did all the research to prove it, saying there's no county ordinance that allows driving on any of these beaches. All these accesses should be closed immediately like every other island. There's no difference between this island and Maui and Molokai as far as the law goes.
Well, there you go. I just want to ask you, are you going to go to any of those arraignments, any of those proceedings for Mr. Terry Lowe?
Hell no. Why should I?
You might.
If my case is a closed. My case has nothing to do with this. You know, I made all these complaints up and down the line and tried to file with the prosecuting attorney of the state. And all the prosecuting attorneys state, well, did he say he was going to kill you? I said, no, he said he was going to set me, him and his friends were going to set me straight. And this is the other thing. Mr. Lowe, you're a coward. When you want to set people straight, you got to bring along your friends. You and your buddies got to come and set me straight. You know, how cowardly is that? You can't do it on your own. You know, so he's a coward, he's a liar, he's a rapist. And he had the impunity and was given the authority to take away all your civil rights.
Well, you're certainly entitled to your opinion, and you called to the right station that allows you to voice your opinion on the airwaves unfettered.
Well, I hope I've done it with a little passion. I know some people are afraid of passion these days.
There are a lot of people who are kind of scared of emotional tide running too strong.
But you know what? My passion is laced with facts, and if you want the facts, I can give them to you. I can give you the laws, the times, and everything about it. So, you know, it's one thing when people are just blowing off steam they know nothing about, but I've been dealing with this for 5.5 years. And I know more. I've talked to everyone involved, from Linda Lingle up and down the line, Mrs. Steelen, Mr. Isla, all the hits.
Keep doing what you're doing, brother. Keep doing what you're doing. This is Hoppe Hendrix. I just wanted to say one thing to you. I definitely feel your passion, and I can actually almost see through the airwaves. You know, your integrity, what happened to you was real. I can feel it. And that happened, I'm really, really sorry. And I'm glad that you're speaking out, because that's all you need to do.
Lieutenant Governor, to him.
Did you hear what Hoppe was sharing with you?
Thank you, sir. I appreciate you listening. And thanks for your comment.
My pleasure.
You guys have a good day.
You too. Likewise. Wow. And thanks for calling. Call back if you'd like. We're going to have other callers as well. We have Adam Asquith coming in from probably around 5 o'clock, bringing some guests. Kapoor Spro from the Richardson Law School. I want to say, I'll have to pull up her official work that she's doing with the state, for the state or for the county regarding some water clarification. Tim Kalai invited our next guest to come on, so we'll be talking story with them. But in the booth now is Hoppe Hendrix, enjoying the fine tunes of Taylor.
Oh, it's always nice to come here because I'm only humbled by one group of people in general, and that's musicians. And to be around them here is just such a humbling experience always. It's so nice to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, well, thank you for putting it out there, much like the caller before, passionate. You chose to run for mayor at a time when Mayor Bernard Carvalho probably has never been under the scrutiny as he has been at this moment, whether it's 2491 and Ordinance 960, or the whole pesticide regulation issues, and his choice to veto that bill, to, if you will, take the advice of his legal counsel and say, it might not be a good bill for us to put our money on. But that wasn't why you ran. You didn't run against the mayor because of 2491, was it?
No, mine was a system of remote viewing, actually. I had a meeting before our first three meetings with Dustin Barca during our debates, and we met at Small Town Coffee one morning. It was quite comical because I basically told him, look, I just joined because I was the only one up against him, and I knew that if somebody, anybody, like Dustin Barca or somebody would just see my name, they would go, oh, man, I can beat that idiot. And so when I met Dustin Barca and said that to him at Small Town Coffee a couple of weeks before our first debate, he looked at me and he said, well, I didn't really use that words, but I knew he was lying. I knew that he had looked at my name and said, oh, man, I can beat that idiot. And I believe, it inspired him to run. And I think as far as a politician is concerned, he's not. But as an activist, as somebody who's looking at politics in a greater definition of living, I believe that he's a 2-to-1 underdog. And what's great about being a 2-to-1 underdog and being Dustin Barca, because he can only be Dustin Barca, is I believe that people will look at him and they will see that he, his integrity and his passion is real. And that the more information that they get about what the GMOs are doing and how connected our local government, all the way up to our global government, are connected with that GMO. And this is just this, lone MMA maverick politician trying to fight that. I mean, one, it's beyond honorable. And the only way people will vote for an underdog is if they feel that their entire entity is bigger than themselves. And I think Dustin Barca has that. To say that he's a maverick politician, I think, is an understatement as well. I mean, I think he can do a lot simply because he understands the perspective of somebody in Kauai a lot better than the government would,
Right. And I guess, folks, you didn't hear a lot of people talk about your qualifications or lack of qualifications, but you hear people talk about Dustin Barca's lack of qualifications. What do you think? Do you need to be qualified to run for election?
Well, I mean, the GMO Teddy Bernard Carvalho, he gets good people around him. The thing about Dustin Barca, he has been and traveled all over the world. He has dealt with people in every walks of life. So what he can do to is not just bring himself, but he brings an entire global community behind him. He has people that he knows from MMA fighting. He has people he knows from being some crazy surfer dude. I mean, I didn't even know he was a professional surfer when I met him. I was so impressed with that guy. And I sat next to him at three debates, and every time he talked, I've been told a lot of times that I was always the smartest guy in the room. And I've been told a lot of times that I was always the stupidest guy in the room. So I find balance in that. Now, what he has is he has incredible heart. And that heart, he's projecting out into the people. And so I'm asking the people to do a couple of things. I'm asking you to ask yourself how to have a greater society than what exists right now. Because what exists right now is we have 492 billionaires in America and one in five children go hungry. I have people here that are sleep deprived. Like I was calling the Clay Ventura second job solution or situation to fix people working so hard just because they feel, other people feel that they're living in the most, you know, beautiful place in the world doesn't mean that they have to be sleep deprived. And I just think he can do things to combat all these negatives. I think he's a social activist. I'm really impressed with the guy.
Yeah, well, that's what's, I mean, I have to admit, you know, I didn't vote for Dustin at the primary. I'd voted for you.
I'm sorry to hear that, man.
Well, that's okay.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, that's okay. And I gave you one of my...
I told my entire family to vote for Dustin Barca.
I was a little torn between you and Miss Debs.
Nice.
And I just wanted to give you guys, acknowledge you
Thank
with
you.
My one vote, because that's what I got. Right? And I had a feeling that Dustin was going to move on and that you and Miss Debs weren't.
Oh, right? Yeah. That's
I'm sorry. You know, I'm being
Thank
frank
you so
with
much.
You. I did think that Dustin was going to outperform you and get number two. I didn't think that Dustin was going to come close to unseating the mayor. No, and I still
I
don't.
Actually think he's got some momentum building. And he's
well,
got
I would
a
agree with
things.
You on that.
In his pocket, I believe. You know, I told Dustin Barca that I had done an unauthorized N-stare on the island for 3 years, meaning I'm an expert in surveillance,
mm-hmm.
and in a very specific way. I did remote viewing for Senator Daniel Inouye from, I mean, basically I was recruited on March 24th, 1986, and I was burn noticed or fired on September 3rd, 1998 over a Jonathan Mann N-stare. He was a doctor from the World Health Organization, and what they're doing at the World Health Organization to their whistleblowers are it's not only un-American, it's inhumane. You know, I'm saddened by what's going on. Now, that was September 2nd, 1998.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you fast forward, you know, to 2014, last month with Dr. Glenn Thompson, same exact modus operandi. He blows up in a plane over Malaysia, and he's the head Ebola expert. Now, what Jonathan Mann and his wife Mary Louise Mann were, he was the director of the World Health Organization. She was the head of the AIDS research, and they had found out that every single hepatitis B vaccination in 1979 and 1980 were laced with the AIDS virus. And we gave that to all of Africa and to the gay population here. And then guess what happened like a couple years later? There was an AIDS explosion. And Robert Gallo, who's, you know, the inventor of AIDS, he says that AIDS came from a flight attendant that had sex with a monkey. If you ever tried to have sex with a monkey, I'd imagine it'd be the hardest thing in the world to do because they're way stronger than you and they will probably kick your butt.
It'd be funky.
So that's the official government or World Health Organization
official
explanation of where AIDS came
how
from.
How we got AIDS in
now,
our world.
How about I give you one just a little bit more accurate?
Okay.
Okay, Henry Kissinger, $10 million to Litton Bionetics. Litton Bionetics through Robert Gallo. They recombine ovine visna, herpes, hepatitis B, and something called bovine leukemia, and bam, we got a really beautiful AIDS virus.
Oh.
And I don't know, for some reason, Henry Kissinger, who, if you want to mystify Daniel Inouye at the age of 17 when he asked you to join the army and you said not no, but hell no, and he says why, and you say, well, let me just quote Henry Kissinger. Henry Kissinger once said that the military personnel of the United States government are pawns, expendable in a global game of chess. Now, when I said that to a war veteran like Daniel Inouye at 17, he countered with this, and it made me think. He said, learn from them and use it against them.
Mm-hmm.
He told me that at 17 years old, and had I known what I was going to do for that man for 12 years, I would not have done it. He asked me to spy not only on the Special Forces Group, 20th SF, see if there were Pegasus trafficking for the CIA. Pegasus is...
I was going to say, what is Pegasus trafficking?
Operation Pegasus. I can say this because it's not giving away classified information anymore. This is awesome.
Hey,
this
information is public record now.
Now, well, and they totally... He was a dear friend of mine. A guy named Chip Tatum. Anyway, he first spoke about Operation Pegasus. And what it is the Bush-Clinton CIA Air America conglomerate that controls the entire global heroin and cocaine production. And so when the Taliban, in July of 2001, The Economist magazine came out with an article about how 88% of the global production of heroin was coming out of Afghanistan, and that the Taliban had just outlawed, on July 2001, the production of opium in their country, of heroin in their country. Well, I mean, the CIA couldn't have that. I mean, they own the entire global production of that.
That would be cutting into their peace.
So we took the Taliban out. And that's what we do. And now we're doing that on a scale where, you know, I was mentioning earlier on the drive up how, you know, Elvis Presley kind of guided me to that biological warfare school in Frankfurt simply because, you know, that's where he was stationed. So when they asked who wanted to go to this top secret biological warfare school,
your hand shot up.
Sign me up, man.
I want to be like Elvis.
Yeah, so I got there and sit at where Elvis sat at lunch every day, and then every day I got to learn about biological weapon systems and how we deploy them, and to deploy them using vaccinations. And it's because of that I started doing surveillance on doctors, mostly whistleblowers for the American Medical Association or the World Bank or the World Health Organization.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a really strong background in medicine, but nothing that I can publish. And so that's what leads me here. It's just now, you know, they're ramping up or ratcheting up the fear of Ebola. And I just want to tell people, hey, man, that's a CDC Tulane University genetically modified organism. And just like anything else out there, you know, we have ways to beat that. We're just creating fear, I believe, which does something called vertical integration for biotechs and big pharma where they can sell more vaccinations. It's a bunch of crap.
C-R-A-P.
Yeah. Oh, can I say that?
Yeah, you can. It's not a problem. The FCC won't shut us down for that.
Hello,
looks like there's a party going on out there.
Oh, man, we got musicians and it's nuts here.
I'm just going to interrupt for one quick one because I want to say mahalos to Jim Hastings from Las Vegas, Nevada, who's listening online and got a chance to hear what was going on beforehand and made a very nice, generous contribution to the annual pledge membership drive. So, Jim, mahalos for that. We really, really appreciate. Tim is still taking phone calls. If you would like to get in on the action and join on this incredible Thursday afternoon of giving, and give Tim a call, 826-7774, 826-7771. If you're calling from offline, 275-1112, the area code is 866 to make sure you get us in time. But we're just kind of winding down our membership fund drive, and that last contribution goes a long ways. Hoppe, didn't mean to cut off the flow there, but that was a good time for me to make mention that, you know, we're still taking donations. We're still taking your support from the community station that loves you. So back to Elvis left here story.
Everybody get your pocketbooks out, man. Let's bring some money into this place. KKCR is basically the last bastion of democracy on this island. Now, this is the only place on this island where you can get to listen to idiots like myself. So
hosted by idiots like me.
It's nice to have an alternate view of things because you get crammed with stuff from Fox News and CNN, and I just think they love to furl false flags and ratchet up fear and
unfurl the false flag.
Yeah,
yes,
unfurl the false flag. And it's people like you that just have a little bit of knowledge or wish and desire to understand something greater than yourself, or if you just feel that, hey, man, maybe I'm being lied to. And I always tell people, just assume that you're being lied to. Everything that they say is a lie for just 1 week. And if you do that, I swear to God, you will discover who killed JFK. You will discover how to cure cancer. I mean, all kinds of amazing things. So, you know, that's incredibly optimistic, but it's also realistic as well.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's funny in this age of information, it's also the age of skepticism, that there's never been a bigger or better time to be skeptical of what we perceive to be real.
Absolutely. The issue is this. We live in a top-secret society. We have classified echelons and echelons and echelons that categorize people into stellar wind programs, which literally record every single phone call that comes in and out of the United States of America. Now, once they have that kind of Orwellian tactics, and that came online in 2001, it's on September 12th, a guy named Mikey Hayden, General Hayden of the NSA, top deck of the NSA, you know, approved that because the president asked him to do something unconstitutional. Now, the guy's a total idiot, and he's always been a total idiot. And when you listen to him, you can see that he's lying because there's TV shows like Lie to Me that exist where, you know, it teaches interrogative tactics. It teaches you how to look at somebody when they're talking to you so that if they're touching their face, like General Clapper was when he said that we do not spy our own on our own people. Oh, man.
You just knew.
I almost threw up when I saw that. And that's why people like Ed Snowden released 1.4 million classified documents, because he started seeing that and he said, look, I have something greater than my, you know, I took a, God, in 1991, I signed a 70-year contract with the CIA saying that I can't write anything without their censorship first.
So you got to run it past the CIA editors before you can publish.
And I'm a screenplay writer. For the last 4 years, I decided to change jobs and I wanted to become a screenwriter. So I've written 17 screenplays, the last five here all based on Kauai. Anyway, to make a long story boring, it's tough to do that once you have signed that because they can definitely mess with you. But to understand that, you know, I think just Kauai has a very, very unique position to fight a Goliath. And it's because 70,000 people can come together and look at a United States government by watching a simple documentary on YouTube called Cancer is Serious Business, where you can irrefutably prove that the United States government is blocking the cure for cancer. Now, once you have that, there's no possible way that you can look at the government and allow them to have any credibility whatsoever.
Well, there you go. And we get more of that every day. I got to take a phone call here, but before I take the phone call, I want to thank Mr. M.K. Goodwin from Wailua or Kapa'a. Mahalo so much for supporting Kauai Community Radio. Thank you for your love and support. We do appreciate it. We've got Hapa Hendricks, candidate for mayor, who unfortunately came in third, but is moving on
to
bigger and better things.
Out of four.
Oh, four out of four. Ah. We're going to take this phone call right now. Caller, are you still there? Aloha, caller. Are you still there? Hello.
I called earlier, but I wanted to just mention something about what your guest here is saying.
Okay, our guest, Hapa Hendricks, and I'm sorry, yes. I got that wrong. I thought he was third, but he was fourth. Go ahead. You're on the air.
On the Ebola thing, you know how on the news they're always saying it's not transferable through the air, the Ebola virus?
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I were a terrorist, you don't have to isolate the virus from the human body to put it in the air. If you wanted, all you'd have to do is bring some Ebola victims to the U.S. to the back door, you know.
Well, they're planning on that.
Other people infect them, then grind up their bodies and juice them, and then, like, put them in a small air, you know, with a compressor and drive over, like, a NASCAR event and spray 100,000 rednecks at one time who will run out scared and hunker down in their bunkers and spread it to everybody else. So you don't have to aerosol the virus. You could actually just juice the people who are infected and spray that on people. And nobody's talking about this because it's like, oh, it's gross and all that. But if you think, like, if I were, you know, sitting in the Middle East and I was a terrorist, this is what I would do to America, and it would be really, really easy.
Well, you know, thanks for sharing that. It's kind of a graphic.
Well,
it is.
About those things.
No, we don't. And there's a reason why we don't think about those things.
Because you've been lied to.
How about I do one better for you? How about I do a remote view? And so in 9 days after the election, people can remember or not remember what I'm about to say. But if they remember it, they will say, that guy is entirely crazy or he's either right on. And on November 13th...
Right, this is your whole reputation.
Okay, I will stake my whole reputation on this. On November 13th, 9 days after the election, They will do some scare Ebola tactics in New York City. They will do a false flag operation there where you'll hear about this on the 14th or the 15th, where they're just going to try to bring the Ebola virus to the United States and create a little bit of a scare, right? And they already have, if you look at the CDC as a CIA proprietary, and you understand that the CDC has already been absorbed into the understanding of what biological weapon systems are.
Sure.
And I believe that they might want to share and deploy that system with us under a false flag. Now, I also believe in December they're going to do the same thing in Norfolk, Virginia, but in a different way. So you can look back at this, maybe pull this up, because I know this all gets logged on the computer. But you'll see November 14th, November 15th, you'll be reading the news and you'll see a small excerpt that says, whoa, Ebola outbreak, New York City. And I guarantee, I'll stake my reputation on that.
There we go. I think we did lose him, Tim. I got a message from the phone call handler, Mr. Tim Kalai, with the big fat thumb, and he hit the wrong button at the wrong time, so we lost everybody. So call back. Call back. It wasn't an intentional drop. Not that they ever are, but unintentional drops do happen. We have made mistakes in the past, and with me around, we'll have mistakes in the future. That's for sure. And speaking of the future, we got hello caller. You're back on the air.
Yeah, hey, I got dropped.
Yeah, again?
I'll hold you to that prediction, the 13th, easy number to remember. But one more thing about our mayor. Nobody's mentioning the fact that Carvalho is not qualified legally to run for mayor or be our mayor because he took the fifth, on
that. Yeah,
that's getting
some big news now. I've seen it on my Facebook page. Some people are talking about it. In fact, I saw a friend of mine say he needs to step down. It's kind of interesting how that's...
But how come there's not some election commission that's not invalidated him? I don't understand why Barca didn't bring it up during the debate that he was lied and took the fifth.
I tried. Man, Dustin Barca is...
Was he just being nice?
No, know what? He's a better man than I can honestly say, because I have some very, very incriminating videos of, what's his name, Mayor Bernie. Very incriminating, and I wanted to release them on YouTube, and he asked me not to.
Somebody told me they saw Bernard Carvalho driving drunk on swerving all over the road.
I'm not saying anything more. But
yeah, well, that's kind of, what do you call that, hearsay, right? Not anything we can verify.
You know what? Vote him out.
No, I'm not gonna arrest you for that.
Vote him out. Everybody that's listening, vote Mayor Carvalho out of office.
I'm not the legal expert. There was a man, Mr. Lewis, who writes the column, who's an attorney, who brought this up in the Garden Island.
Right.
And also the gentleman that does all the research out in Hanley Bay said he knew of this, but he never gave any details about it,
about
the legal action that was being held, so that Mr. Carvalho, if he waits till after the election, then they'll have another election. If he can get him disqualified before, Barca will be mayor.
So this was from a number of years back. I think it was in 2009, 2010. I'm going to read from the article by Malia Zimmerman and Jim Dooley from the Hawaii Reporter. It was online. I'm looking at it right now. The headline says, "Indictment alleges Kauai County employee covered up thefts by mayor." And it says, "A warrant for the arrest of Kauai Mayor Bernard P. Carvalho on charges that he stole more than $5,000 of county gasoline in 2009 and 2010 has been submitted to two state judges on the Garden Island who reportedly refused to sign the warrant until there is more evidence." That's what the Hawaii Reporter states. A grand jury indictment returned this week. This was back in 2000. I'll try to get the date. This was 2 years ago when County Prosecutor Shailene Esseri Carvalho was running for re-election against Justin Kohler. Justin Kohler, who has won that election and is the current county prosecutor, was, if you will, backed by Mayor Bernard Carvalho.
Right.
And the county attorney who was Justin Kohler's boss, Al Castillo. So this is old news, and it's coming up again, obviously, because just the way that Dustin Barca's, if you will, track records or his...
Actually, it's not coming from him at all.
Oh, no, it's not
he
coming from...
He doesn't want to go negative at all.
No, this
he will
isn't,
not do it.
And this is answering
this isn't going negative. This is what speaking the right and the law says that Mr. Carvalho is not. And Walter Lewis writes this column, and he's an attorney. And this was in the last 6 months. He wrote a detailed article about how this disqualified him 100% from
absolutely
ever holding
it does
public office.
Absolutely, it does.
So I'm reading.
He's still holding public office.
Well, there you
because,
go.
Because it's a process.
Yeah, there you go. And I'm reading an article from the Hawaii Reporter by Malia Zimmerman that's dated November 16th, 2012. Okay, and you're asking why isn't this brought up? It's being brought up, but again, things are suppressed. Things do not always come to the surface. And as Mr. Hendricks is telling us, Dustin Barca isn't using this as the excuse to bring down Mayor Bernard Carvalho.
You don't have to use it as the excuse to bring him down. It's just that he broke the law and he needs to be held accountable for taking the fifth, and it disqualified him, and he's not qualified to be the mayor, and that's what the law says. Uh-huh. And as a chief officer of the executive branch of this county, he is supposed to enforce the law. So all he's doing is doing what he is supposed to be doing. He's not, you know.
Right. And so, you know, again, we're talking about entrenched individuals and politicians that are reluctant to let go of the status quo that they are supporting. They have a lot of authority and power, just like you were talking about Mr. Lowe and Mr. Mission at the DLNR. This is an example of that, again, where, well, who's the law enforcement and who's in charge of law enforcement?
The commission and the courts. Somebody needs to challenge him in court.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I do believe Glenn Mickens and Ken Taylor have initiated some type of procedure that is trying to bring attention to this. Again, Glenn Mickens and Dustin Hoffman, they're not rabid red shirters. They're not the anti-GMO activists that some people might think they are. They just want a little bit more transparency in our local government. They would like to have
Well, not just transparency, but stopping all this, you know, where you're hiring your friends and, you know, you're getting backdoor deals, you know, and all this other stuff.
Yeah. No, so you bring up a topic that I had just looked at a Facebook post earlier this afternoon, and I was thinking, well, do I want to bring this up in the show? Probably, because it is an issue that many people are talking about. It's
and we're
old
running
news.
Out of time.
Well, you know, we've got 10 more minutes before the top of the hour. We've got
2 weeks before the election. Yeah.
Well, that's the election is the election. The life is going to go on after that. We're going to have to continue to do what we do to hopefully bring about the change we'd like to see in the world.
If we could get this in court before and disqualify him, then Barca will be mayor. If it's after the election, then we'll have to hold a new election.
Well,
so I got to go. Thank you, guys.
Hey, thanks for calling again. Appreciate you listening to Kauai Community Radio. Hoppe Hendricks in the hot seat, sharing some mana'o about, you know, as a candidate, what's it like to be under the scrutiny, the spotlight?
Well, I was lucky not to have a spotlight, so it was quite nice, actually. I never really went out, and I did three things. I did three debates. That's all.
Yeah. And you did a couple radio shows.
Oh, and I did one radio show.
Radio show.
That
we appreciate
fun.
You coming on back here. So thanks for coming back and joining us.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's always nice to actually run for something and get completely annihilated, because it's, one, humbling as well as humiliating.
Yeah.
So.
Well, hey, I ran for KIUC. I think I finished in the bottom top the bottom tier of the three candidates that didn't get 1,000 votes. I was there.
I always look for ways to humble myself.
Thank
that's
you.
All.
Yeah.
You did a great job.
Why? Thank you. I try to do that at everything I do. For the last couple of months, I've been really testing water. I used to own a water company about 8 years ago with a guy named Brandon Roth. I built a Scalar Energy Chamber with another guy named Al Bielek, and so we were Scalar Energy chambering water to change the molecular structure of it. And then Penta started doing the same thing with about 50,000 magnetic Gauss. And they kind of got off the ground quicker than we did. And I couldn't get anybody else to prove that my water was better than anybody else's water. So
it's just water.
Couldn't get funding for it. No. It was really difficult. But it taught me a lot about water. And it got me in touch with a guy named Mizuru Emoto, who happened to pass away on the 17th.
Weekend.
Yeah. Great guy. I got to speak with him several times. So of course, I did this documentary, this NSTAR, where I just looked at all the dynamics of Kauai. I looked at the criminal element by, in the last 3 years, I had four bicycles here, and I'm not allowed to own a lock just because I'm a priest in the Hawaiian priesthood of Ku, and we believe, like Christ says, if somebody steals your shirt, well, then you got to give them your jacket too. So I actually kind of live that. And one of the things I live is I can't lock my bikes, because if somebody's going to steal my bike, then they're going to steal it. But I always say, hey, I'm going to learn from anything that I lose. So being a former surveillance expert that kind of just did surveillance on doctors like Jameson Neruda and Jonathan Mann and Dr. Brzezinski, I know how to install a really tiny spy camera. So all four bikes that I got stolen here all had cameras on it. So at the end of my 3 years, which is even today, two of those still cameras are still a reality show that I get to run on my iPhone, you know?
Oh, so you get to pick up their signal.
Oh, man, it has just had been fantastic to learn the entire criminal element of Kauai,
bike.
Of the entire island of Kauai. Because you think about somebody stealing your bike, where that bike is going to go. And the two that, you know, just got stolen by kids, they were painted over and it ruined the camera angle, so I couldn't see anything, but I could hear things. It gave me a really, really strong and I mentioned this at the third debate, because at the third debate I was doing something called NSTAR Kauai, which is National Security Threat Assessment Risk Evaluation on Kauai. So I did a bunch of things. One was the four bikes. The other one was to gauge the CIA Pegasus operations on a very, very molecular scale here to understand how it was working, because I knew it from a scale of George Bush, Bill Clinton, Mina, Arkansas, Gene Chip, Tatum, and Hoppe Hendrix, / Noriega. I knew it from that scale in Mina. And then when Clinton got elected and Gene Chip Tatum came out, they moved the entire operation to a special forces group that I infiltrated as a special forces soldier, spied on them. And I didn't quit the 20th Special Forces Group because they were trafficking cocaine for the CIA. I literally quit the 20th Special Forces Group because I found out they had killed Martin Luther King Jr. Now, I can't prove that, but what Special Forces is, by the way, I would never talk bad about Special Forces soldiers. Those are the baddest son of a guns in the world.
That's putting it lightly.
Oh, the Q course that I went to, the hell week was 3 weeks long. For the Navy SEALs, it's 1 week long. Yeah? And I only did it just to have to spy on these people. And when they asked me to do that, I was like, wait, I got to go through the Q course? And Danny Inouye said, yeah. And yeah. I was like, oh, that I'm just way too lazy for that. There is no way that's going to happen. 9 months later, I got a Green Beret and a Special Forces tab, and I'm in the 20th Special Forces Group, and I got to break a law, a critical MOS law, to do it.
Deep cover.
Oh, it's ridiculous. Anyway, so I get there, and Special Forces is generational. If you are a father and you have a son and that father is a Green Beret, man, you better pray that if you're not going to be a Green Beret, you better pray that you're gay or something and can't join the military or whatever.
Because, or at least don't tell.
Oh, yeah, don't tell. Because you have to become a Green Beret if your father is a Green Beret. So speaking from a generational perspective, and all of Special Forces has not been compromised by the Pegasus group, by the intelligence cocaine gathering and distribution networks of the CIA. Just part of it. And these people are so powerful because there is so much money in drugs and they just can buy everything. So all I needed to do for Senator Daniel Inouye was chart the CIA Pegasus operations in Central America, Arkansas, and Florida. And once I did that, I was done. So once I found out it was a random exercise. Some guy that I was working with said that, oh, yeah, we took out the head N-word. And you know what I'm talking about when I say N-word, right? All right. So I went, what? And I turned around. This is in the middle of an operation. And I was like, say that again. And he said, yeah, my family took out the head. And
there
I'm like,
go.
Who are you talking about? And he said, Martin Luther King Jr. And I went, okay, so you're saying that the 20th Special Forces Group killed Martin Luther King Jr. And he said, irrefutably, yes. I said, F you, and F you, and I walked out. And they wanted to give me a dishonorable discharge, and Danny Inouye forced them to give me an honorable discharge in the Army. I never showed up to work again. Now, that's what happens in the military. It gets appropriated by non-governmental organizations that are really intelligence asset organizations. And once you have that, you have a compromised system. So I know that compromised system from a perspective of the medical industry as well.
Okay.
And I know that compromise system from the perspective of Ike's Whisper World Bank surveillance modalities. So to come together now and to be able to, like, I came on the show simply because I wanted to say, Dustin Barca, I love you, man. You do what you got to do because I believe you can do it. And I think you are going to win this election. Dustin Barca, I think you are going to win this election. Go out and work a little harder. You're doing great, man. And then the second thing was just there's a cancer therapy regimen that I have that I'm pitching to the Indian an Indian reservation next week. I have to fly to Colorado and all that to do that. But and then I'd like to bring it back here. That was my goal.
There we go. So we'll get more to that, but I do want to bring our caller up. Caller, thank you for being patient. Appreciate the patience exhibited. You're live with Hoppe Hendrix, Tim Kalai, and Jimmy Trujillo.
Oh, well, thank you, guys. It's been fantastic just listening to you. It makes me think about different things to ask Hoppe because he seems so intelligent on the intelligence. So
he is.
But what I'm interested in, since he brought up, you know, the things that he's experienced is, okay, crystal meth, is that intentionally brought in by our government, CIA, and being let go to ruin our society?
I don't know anything about crystal meth, but as far as crack cocaine is concerned, William Colby, who was the DI of the CIA, and he was asked by my superior in a special forces unit, SOTA team, Special Operations Detachment Alpha team, he was asked why... our motto was In God We Trust, and God is an acronym for the three things that you can sell for an exponential profit value, and that's guns, oil, and drugs. And he wanted to, because he was directly related to the crack epidemic. The crack epidemic was started by the CIA to do a couple of things. One, it's cheaper to make that and easier to sell than cocaine. Anyway, I don't know anything about crystal meth, but I know all these drugs have the same dynamics of distribution, right? Crack cocaine was controlled by the CIA to literally take over places in America, depress the land value so that we can create crack houses in certain areas, and then 10 years later use these amazing real estate deals to buy it at zero or 2 cents on the dollar, and then get rid of the crack, because it's really easy to get rid of the crack if you're controlling the crack coming in. So, and that can be easily proven. I mean, read Pegasus Files on the internet. A guy named Chip Tatum came out, and he was the first to talk about bringing in cocaine for Bill Clinton and George Bush, and everybody went, "Oh, that's just impossible." But then, you know, he got, you know, I lived right by him for a little while in Florida, and man, he was just ridiculed and. Wow, the IRS went after him, and you know, he could prove he had all these manifests and stuff like that. So it's like, I'm glad that he came out and talked, because he was actually one of my, when I first joined in 1986, the military industrial complex, they told me that the science of the military industrial complex, the actual technology, for every single year that the civilian sector advances, the military industrial complex in 1986 advanced 9 years. So we can see it as like a spiral now, because now they're advancing exponentially. So they're dealing with technologies that are just beyond my comprehension. And I was just so fascinated to be on the fringes of it for 12 years that I was honored by it. Please, go ahead.
I got a question. So you do remote viewing.
I do it horribly until I had a near-death experience, and then now I do it pretty well.
Can you remote view to see if we can ever go towards cleaning up the act of crystal meth for the people of the world? Because, you know, especially here in Kauai, you know, I'm really concerned because a lot of people are, you know, hooked in there, and some people are denying it. You know?
Look, it's a really big problem, and I've seen it all over. Yeah. I have friends
about that.
I have friends that passed away, not on crystal meth, but things like Oxycontins, and I'm doctors and lawyers' friends, you know, and I'm like, okay, we have an issue, and now what we're doing to that issue is we're criminalizing it, which is the worst thing that you can do. And something that Dustin Barca said that resonates in my mind was, you know, he has a lot of friends that are a couple of friends that passed away from drug abuse. And he's looking at the drug abuse paradigms on how we deal with it, and he sees it as criminal. And I mean, I see it as criminal. There's a guy named Joleo Galeo. He's the drug czar of Portugal. In 2001, Portugal has a very small population, considering they had 100,000, and this is 2001 when the CIA started to control the CIA heroin distribution networks. In 2001, Joleo Galeo, the drug czar of Portugal, had 100,000 severely, severely addicted heroin users. And he did not know what to do. Like, once you have that, your entire society is ruined. So what he did to this day was he legalized everything in small amounts. And what that has done has been miraculous for the country of Portugal. And I'm saying, if Portugal has that, and we can look at them and say, hey, look at how drastically they reduced their drug addiction rate simply by legalizing it, then perhaps we should just look at maybe not criminalizing it.
Right. I don't want to take so much time because there's probably some other callers waiting, but...
There's someone right next to me dying to say something.
But
I can see it.
The reason why I'm voting for Dustin Barca is because, I'm much older. I'm older than him, probably you too, but I just want to back young people up and then of Kauai, and also because he's so strong on the element of, GMOs. I mean, that's a big issue.
It is a big issue.
GMOs are poisoning the river waters. It's easy to prove.
He's one of the only ones that, what we have choices of. He's the only one strongly against it. And I think that's pretty much the voice of our life here.
I agree.
On the island and on the planet. I mean, we're going.
He also, he said he wanted to help in restore the cultural heritage of the Hawaiians, which I was really appreciative of being a Hawaiian.
Well, the thing is that I think it'd be good for him because just to have that power of mayor, it's going to be humbling. It's humbling for anybody to work in the community here. So that's one of the things I have to say. And I just want to thank you again for being on the station and keeping Kauai the way it is. And thanks for sharing all your information. Appreciate it.
Mahalo. Yeah, thank you for giving us a call there. I just want to let you know you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea, 90.9 FM on the north end side of this world, 91.9 FM island-wide, 92.7 on Ohola Moloa'a, and 104.7 on the gathering place of Oahu, 95.1 on the cable dial, and if I didn't say this, 90.9 FM up in Hanalei and on this side. We have Hoppe Hendricks joining us, or here in the booth. I've got to play a couple of things to make sure we're doing everything right the way we're supposed to. This one first.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, volunteers, board, or underwriters.
And then I also want to let you guys know that it is made possible, this out-of-the-box special, by the good folks at Hawaii Gaga and also the family at Tahiti Nui.
HawaiiGaga.com, Hawaii Vacation Rental Directory and Vacation Guide. A proud sponsor of Kauai Community Radio, Hawaii Gaga also publishes the Kauai GPS Tour Guide, an audio tour of Kauai for iPhones. More information online at HawaiiGaga.com.
If you're a candidate for political office and would like to speak to Kauai on KKCR, call in to our public affairs talk shows, Tuesdays and Thursdays between 4 and 6 p.m. at 826-7771.
Announcing the return of the Tahiti Nui's Hanalei Luau, featuring 50 years of songs and dances as a tribute to their mama, Auntie Louise. Tahiti Nui, providing live Hawaiian music on Kauai since 1963. This family-style luau is every Wednesday, 5 to 7:30. More information at 826-6277 or online at thenui.com.
Ha ha ha. Just, pulled a fast one on you. Really, it's this out-of-the-box special is made by the good folks at Aya's Garden and Hawaii Life.
Aya's Garden, all-natural garden and greenhouse supply. In Kapa'a, down Kukui Street from the Dragon Building. Fertilizers, amendments, soil, seeds, garden and farm organic growing supplies. Open Monday through Saturday. More information at 822-7333 or visit Aya's Garden on Facebook.
Neil Norman and the Hawaii Life Brokerage Ohana proudly supports GMO-free Kauai, agricultural biodiversity, and sustainable farming practices, such as community gardens, food forests, seed saving, and beekeeping. Malama aina.
There you go, Malama aina. I have a couple things I want to just share with you folks. We are at the terminus of our fund drive, and we've got some mahalos to thank for folks who have helped us along the way. Today's show, we have Mr. Goodwin, Mr. Hastings, and someone else who made a contribution. We want to say mahalo to you for joining the long list of supporters, the folks who make Kauai Community Radio happen. And this one is from the fund drive. It's a mahalo to the folks who helped us with the sustenance and the food that came our way. So mahalo, folks out there in the community, for feeding us so we can feed you.
A big mahalo nui loa to our amazing food providers during KKCR's fall fund drive. We'd like to thank Healthy Hut, North Shore Grinds at Chevron, Oasis on the Beach, Paohana Pizza, Coconut Cup, Monaco's, Al Pastor Tacos, Tiki Aniki, Barracuda, Harvest Market, and Kayla Coberly, Hanalei Gourmet, Faux Love, Mediterranean Gourmet, Kilauea Fish Market, Marin and Moe's, and Tracy, KISS, Kauai Island Shopping Service. And if you would like any more information about any of these restaurants, please go to our website, kkcr.org, and you can find their link. Aloha.
Yes, mahalos for you folks growing the food and making it come our way. It's always good to celebrate Thanksgiving on Thursdays, and it is Thanksgiving Day again. I also want to let folks know about our wave riders. These are the people who early on chose to support Kauai Community Radio, and your message is one that we want to support. So mahalos for your support during our fund drive.
Princeville Center, plenty of cool new businesses. Shop, dine, relax. Live music nightly.
Serving Kauai with aloha since 1999. Teacher training for over a decade. YogaHanalei.com. 826-YOGA.
Jungle Girl, Inc. Island and Bohemian-style fashion accessories, home decor, textiles, and more. Celebrating 16 sweet years in old Kalua Town. Mahalo for your support.
Coldwell Banker Balihai Realty, a local family-owned business providing real estate services to the people of Kauai for 36 years. Balihai.com or 826-7244.
Kauai Canvas, custom gallery quality giclée and fine art printing, featuring digital capture replication services for artists and painters. KauaiCanvas.com. Stretch your imagination.
A. Feinberg Galleries, exclusively featuring images by award-winning photographer Aaron Feinberg. Galleries in Hanalei, Princeville, Poipu, and opening Wailea, Maui, November 2014. ExpandingVisualReality.com.
Author Bill Fernandez invites listeners to support KKCR because it preserves Kauai's history and music. KauaiBillFernandez.com.
Oasis on the Beach, Oceanfront Dining in Kapa'a. Open daily from 12 noon. Reservations at 822-9332 or online at oasiskauai.com.
Tiki Aniki, serving lunch, happy hour, dinner, and late night dining. 11:30 a.m. to midnight. 431-4242. TikiAniki.com.
Hawaiki LLC, Ocean and Tribal Art in Hanalei. Bringing culture to your world. HawaiikiArt.com.
Kauai Island Shopping Service, Kauai KISS, Kauai's personal shopper and grocery delivery service, delivering island-wide. Leave the shopping to them. KauaiKISS.com.
Harvest Market Hanalei, at the Hanalei Center on Kauai's North Shore, proudly supports KKCR and encourages you to do the same. Harvest Market Hanalei.
The Hanalei Bread Company is proud to support the unique programming of KKCR. Located on the front lanai of Barracuda Restaurant Hanalei, the Hanalei Bread Company.
Coconut Cup Juice Bar, serving organic local food, located in Kapa'a at the Coral Reef Hotel, is proud to support Kauai Community Radio.
If you would like information about any of these wave riders, or would like to become a wave rider, please contact KKCR at 826-7774.
There you go. The phone lines are still happening. 826-7774 for a contribution, a donation, mahalos, whatever you'd like to share with us. We're appreciative of it. Tim is manning the phones. He's got the thumbs up, so he's open. 826-7771. We've got Hoppe Hendricks, candidate for mayor, who finished the bottom of four, but that's all right. A colorful, entertaining, engaging conversationalist. And you're on your way to bigger and better things. The office of mayor wasn't happening for you this time around, but you know, moving forward, which is always the thing we do in life, is to keep carrying on.
I thought it was a nice and defiant way of moving out of the witness protection program. Now everybody knows where I am, and I want them to know where I am because I had to pay them off. I invented something about 6 months ago, part of that Kauai River Water diet, and they're called Phytomy capacitors.
And what is a Phytomy capacitor?
Awesome, I'm glad you asked.
That's my job.
It stems from something that a CIA, he's not known as a CIA asset, but I'd like to out him because he's a horrible person. His name is Michael Drosnin. He wrote the bestseller, The Bible Code. Mm-hmm. And what's in the Bible Code is some really beautiful and eloquent things of celestial harmonies that put cellular pathologies in stasis, meaning using sound, it heals people. And I know that's very hard to believe, but if you just go back to the simplicity of the word sound, it's also a synonym for great health. And if you look at a cell, a cancer cell, you'll see it as a pathology or something that shifted from ease to dis-ease. Now, there is a frequency for ease, and there is a frequency for dis-ease, and it is a higher phase state transition. And I have invented these six Phytomy capacitors in conjunction with something called moringa and iboga and phenylacetylisoglutamine compounds. Phenylacetate, phenylacetylglutamine, and phenylacetylisoglutamine compounds connected with the six Phytomy tonal capacitors as well as iboga allows for not only one of the most eloquent and elegant cancer care therapy regimens in the history of the planet, I believe. What the government-sponsored healthcare system of cancer came up with in the 50s, which they've only had two small tweaks in 89, they came up with interferon and mitotate. I mean, these are things that still guarantee that anybody with cancer within 10 to 15 years, 90% of that will die. I mean, that's the numbers that they're giving us these days. And I read something ridiculous in the Kauai Garden Isle. It said, if you get breast cancer and you see it early enough, it's easy to cure. And I'm like, that's not the numbers that the FDA, the CD, these people at National Institute of Health are giving us. I mean, mm-hmm. If you go to any doctor with brain cancer or pancreatic cancer, they will tell you, you do these three things, and they'll force you, intimidate you to do radiation, chemotherapy, or surgery, and tell you, look you in the face with a straight eye and say 97 out of 100 times you will be dead in 5 years. And I'm like, I told the doctor, I go, bro, if you got 97 wrong out of your medical boards, would you consider yourself a doctor? And there's like, hell no. So all I did was, after my wife died of breast cancer, my dad, my mom, my brother, Keone Lake, died of bone cancer. We buried him in, Willy 8 years ago. I started looking at it just recently from a perspective of biological warfare. And once I did that, everything clicked. Like, I didn't even know the two words cellular pathology existed, except for a couple years ago. Because what that meant to me was a success. Because for me, biological warfare is, you want to get people sick. I want to get people sick. That was my job, Want to kill people using biological warfare and weapon systems deliveries. So I know that really well. So when I could step back and look at cancer just from a biological warfare perspective, I knew that I could wrestle with it better and prove it within an hour and 7 minutes anywhere in the world. And once I did that, I needed legal precedent. And what I did is I waited to get legal precedent. And that's why I'm here on Kauai, because the precedent came from Kauai, and it was so beautiful, and it happened this year, and it made my world envious. A guy named Shane, I call him Shaman Shane, he's the head of the Native American church here. Very beautiful people. They're neighbors of mine, and what they do is they do authentic Sioux Indian sweat lodges, which is ironic because I'm part Sioux Indian. My grandmother was related to Sitting Bull. My dad, John Keawe Lake, was related to the Keawe royalty here on this island. Anyway, when I saw that he got arrested with this cat named Pa, for peyote, and they were going to jail for a long time. And I needed to know what happened to these people, because if they could have beat the case using their religious exemption, using the Native American church as peyote, because peyote is part of the Native American religion.
One of the sacraments.
Yeah, it's one of the sacraments. So the court ruled in favor of Shaman Shane. And once he did that, I not only had the most effective cancer care therapy regimen in the world that I could prove within an anywhere in the world within an hour and 7 minutes in an electron microscope, I also had legal precedent to use Iboga, which was a necessary ingredient in this 12-step Phytomicapacitor. And Phytomicapacitors are, hold on, pineal harmonic inductions of transferences of Moringa and Iboga. We're basically irradiating dimethyltryptamine that comes from your pineal gland, simulating a near-death experience so that you may get rid of the psychology behind embracing cancer.
Oh.
And then the phenylacetylisoglutamine compounds of Burzynski deals with it on a genome level, on a DNA oncogene suppressor genome level. Now, he's still not as efficient. What I say is this is what I did. Look at modern-day cancer therapy, government-sponsored cancer therapy as a dial-up modem computer. Started in the 50s, because that's when they started it, and they haven't changed it since then. So they're using a dial-up modem computer. Now, this guy Burzynski, with his three peptides, broadbanded cancer care therapy regimen. Now, what I did with the biological warfare experience that I have and the top secret clearances that I've had surveilling the greatest doctors in the world from Burzynski to Neruda, I just Kawaii-Phytomide it with these Phytomide capacitors. So I put everything together, and I took a cue from a really good friend of mine who's a billionaire. He said, hey, because I obviously did not have the psychology to keep $1 billion, because once I started my first billion-dollar industry, I lost it within 3 months, and that was the captive ad media display that I invented. Right. Anyway, that's a bad story. But anyway, so I asked him, and he said, hey, you just do what you love and make it 10% better. So this is what I love. I want people to not die from cancer anymore. That's my only goal. I want people to not die from cancer anymore. And if I think I have something better than they have, and, man, you take this to Anthony Hauk, the FDA commissioner, and he says, and I quote, I will quote an FDA commissioner, we will not grant a single dollar to you, a single FDA dollar to you, if you are not affiliated with a large pharmaceutical industry, regardless of your cure for cancer or not. End quote. Now, when you're dealing with the FDA and they're supposed to be helping people heal, get better, they're the guardians at the gate, and they're blocking because, you know, they get paid 40% of every single FDA paycheck comes from Monsanto. It's called the User Fee Act. So they're blocking this stuff now. So the only way for me to get around it is to use Shaman Shane's legal precedent here in Hawaii and donate it to the Indian reservation.
So this makes perfect sense now. When you told me that you were going to the mainland, you were going to the Rosebud Sioux
Indian reservation. Yes. That's next week.
That's Tuesday. Why you're going.
Yes.
Wow.
It might not work out. They might look at me and go, we don't want to be targets for the FDA. But you know what? I got the legal precedent, and I got proof that it's at least, using their own numbers, 3 out of the 12 of my treatment is 600% more effective than anything that the FDA is offering, including interferon.
Wow. Heavy duty. Hoppa Hendrix, mahalo for joining
us. Thank you so much for letting me be
thank
here.
Thank you.
And hey, to my friends at Duke's, awesome. I loved working there for 2 years. You guys are my heart. It was so beautiful to be here with you guys. And to all my friends who voted, all 208 of you, God bless you. It was so amazing to do this. Thank you so much.
There we go. We're going to take a musical interlude, a musical interview, and we'll be back with Adam Asquith wrapping up the rest of our show. Hope you enjoy the music. Hoppa Hendrix, don't go far. We'll see you in a little bit.
Okay, I'll think of something clever to say.
There we go. Enjoy the music.
So doubt of pain. Made damn sure the pilot washed his hands and sealed his fate. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name. But what's puzzling you is the nature of my game. Stuck around St. Petersburg when I saw it was a time for a change. Killed the Tsar and his ministers. Anastasia screamed in vain. I rode a tank, held a generous rank. When the blitzkrieg raged and the bodies sank. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guess my name. Oh yeah. I was puzzling you with the nature of my name. Oh yeah. I watched with glee while you kings and queens fought for syndicates. We'll be right back.
Right on. Pleased to meet you. Adam Asquith in the booth. Thank you for joining us, Adam.
Thank you for having me.
A familiar voice on Kauai Community Radio. Are you still doing Kai? Why?
I am not. You know,
it's been a while.
Don had some health issues, and so we've kind of shut down, giving him a chance to recuperate.
Kauai Don, we're thinking of you. Yep. Sending you love and light. And we're going to talk a little bit about water. In fact, somebody's on the phone wants to talk story, I think, about water. But, Adam, you have some information to share about a presentation tomorrow.
Yeah, my name is Adam Asquith, and I work part-time for the University of Hawaii Sea Grant College program here on Kauai, helping the community on conservation and environmental and science issues. And I'd been asked a year or so ago by some community members who were concerned when the Department of Water first came out with their horizontal drilling proposal, and they just kind of were scratching their head and trying to understand what was going on, why we would be proposing seemingly such a drastic measure. Mm-hmm. So they asked me to kind of help them try to understand what's going on with the water in Puna.
Wrap their arms around it.
Well, it took a while even for me to do it and then explaining to them, and things have progressed. We have a much better understanding of what's going on and why the Department of Water felt they needed to do that. Mm-hmm. and some of the degrees that we've already had to go to get water for our development in Puna.
So that's an important thing for us here in the island and the state. Vai-vai is, if you will, that's the elixir of life. Here we go. We got somebody on the line. Aloha caller, you're with Adam Asquith and Tim Kalai, Jimmy Trujillo, out of the box. Thanks for calling.
Hi, yeah. Tim, this is Jimmy, actually.
Yes.
the card, and I've asked, Felicia, Island Breath, and some other folks, what is this card that says vote yes for localfood.com, Local Food Coalition? P.O. Box in Honolulu.
Oh, I got you. So this is a ballot question for the Constitution.
Right.
If there's a change to the Constitution, mm-hmm. I understand it to be, and I'll try to get some better information before we leave for the afternoon, but it's asking the voters to consider making special credits or tax credits available to food-producing entities, farmers, we'll call it such, local farm production. If you're going to be producing food for the island, if you're going to use the INA for the benefit of local consumption, you could potentially...
It doesn't say anything about local consumption. It just says local farmers.
Okay. And I don't know exactly all about it. I know that some people are saying vote no, don't trust it. It's from the government, and the government really is the reason why we're in this mess. So I don't have great information to share. I just know that there is a ballot question, an amendment to change, and somebody's pointing up a card that says another sham. So some folks are suggesting don't vote on it. I saw something from Joanne Yukimura. She wasn't taking a position on it because she hadn't done her research. But some of you, if you're many friends of Joanne Yukimura, you not only got an email from her endorsing Mason Chalk to encourage you to vote for Mason Chalk, one of your seven votes, along with Joanne Yukimura, who served her community very well for so long. But she also threw out a couple of different, if you will, ballot suggestions. There's two charter amendments that we're looking at locally here on Kauai. So we need to do a little research, and I haven't done that yet. I'm not going to vote until Tuesday, November 2nd. I like to wait and do it on that day and just kind of savor the moment of going in there.
Well, be sure we have all the latest information.
Thank you for bringing that to our attention. And
okay.
Was that the gist of it?
That was it, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's kind of my burning question for right now.
Uh-huh. Do you have your ballot in front of you? Can you read the question?
Let's see. I can... hold on.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that is helpful for me. I think the Garden Island recently published a voter guide so that folks would be better prepared when they get in. And that's a great thing. I appreciate folks sharing their mana'o about that. I told Tim earlier that I was hoping to get a couple of folks to share some of their mana'o about OHA candidates.
Oh, yeah,
And maybe we can...
Island Breath had something about that.
Island Breath being the website run by Linda and Juan.
Wilson and Linda Pascatore.
Right, so if you went to islandbreath.org.
Mark Genty had a different point of view.
Mm-hmm. That's what you got to love about diverse points of view.
Right.
Sometimes they agree with you and sometimes they don't.
So what is your question?
What does the ballot question say specifically? If you have your ballot in front of you, what does it say about that question?
Con amend, relating to agriculture and enterprises.
So it's a constitutional amendment.
Right. Shall the state be authorized to issue special purpose revenue bonds and use the proceeds from the bonds to assist agricultural enterprises on any type of land rather than only important agricultural lands?
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's different than the advertisements that you see.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot of money being thrown. Some people have received a slick brochure.
Yes.
Telling them to vote yes on this.
Yes.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for bringing that to our attention.
Yeah, it does seem to be very open-ended. Special purpose revenue bonds. Special purpose. Should they be more specific? And use these proceeds, it doesn't say all or some, but to assist agricultural enterprises. That, again, is not spelled out on any type of land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A lot of open-ended questions there.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, we'll try to get some good information for you about that.
All right. Mahalo.
Thank you. Aloha. So we're opening up the phone lines, and Adam Asquith is our guest. There's an event tomorrow.
There is. You know, 2 weeks ago we had a workshop or briefing with the county council where we shared the issue because a community group is proposing to initiate a state process for requesting restoring a balance to the waters on the east side. And so we're continuing that workshop, that conversation, tomorrow at the community college from 9 to noon in room 106 at the OSET building.
Okay, so the OSET building is the where the bookstore, and it is where the Office of Continuing Education and Training has their offices. They have a number of conference rooms, classrooms. So starting at 9 and running till noon.
Yep.
Terrific. Caller, you are joining us, Adam Asquith, in the booth with Jimmy Trujillo and Tim Kalai. Aloha,
yes.
Caller. You're on the air.
I just have one comment. I don't think that anyone except for Hawaiians should be voting on for OHA people. I don't feel like I'm qualified or should even be sticking my nose in that business.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of people share your sentiments.
So I don't know how we go about changing that, but that's where I think we need to head with that.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of Kanaka Maoli activists, the sovereignty movement supporters would suggest, you know, voting for OHA is just, I don't know, spitting in the ocean. It's not going to help us. So, you know, they won't participate in that election as well. Somebody raised the card, another sham, fake state elections, your choice to participate or not.
Yeah, sounds good. Okay.
Well, thank you for sharing your mana'o. Appreciate that. And Adam, back to our guests who might be joining us either by phone or coming up here. We've got about 25 more minutes of the Out of the Box Thursday special. But thank you for coming in.
Yeah, so speaking of OHA, the Office of Hawaiian Affairs has provided funding to the University of Hawaii Richardson School of Law, the Kahuliao program, to provide assistance to community groups around the state on these issues that are of importance to Native Hawaiians. And they have done so for the community group here on Kauai. And Professor Kapua Sproat of the Sproat Akana Ohana here on Kauai is bringing her environmental law study group over to assist addressing the question. So they'll be briefing the community on the legal aspects of water law in Hawaii.
Mm-hmm.
Given that it's a public trust, there's a whole public trust doctrine that has become part of state law as a whole series of constitutional and HRS law that relates specifically to Native Hawaiian rights, traditional customary gathering rights, Kuleana rights to grow kala with that water and so forth. So these will all be part of the discussion. There'll also be some explanations of the science behind it. It's important to understand kind of the hydrologic cycle, how water falls on the island, where it's gathered in our streams, how it flows, how it doesn't flow, how it sinks into the ground. So a lot of science behind it, and we'll have some scientists from the U.S. Geological Survey explaining a unique model that they developed over 10 years ago when we first discovered we had a water problem in the Lihue Basin. What I mean by the Lihue Basin is defined by a state determined hydrologic unit for our groundwater called the Hanamaulu Subaquifer, and it goes from about the Haupu Mountain Range in the south to the South Fork of the Wailua River on the north. And basically it's been identified that it's unlike any other groundwater system in Hawaii. It's unique. And that the water, it's saturated all the way to the surface. Instead of leaching down through gravity and collect in a big subaquifer that we can drill a well in and tap like a big slurp cup, it operates very differently. It's saturated all the way to the surface. Water doesn't move very easily through that rock. So when you put a well in, it sucks the water from the rock immediately around the well, and the well begins to fail. Water doesn't move through the rock towards that well. Mm-hmm. So you keep putting in wells, and those wells fail, and you got to put another one, so forth.
So you're just draining.
You just keep chasing the demand with more wells because the wells don't
produce
like the model, like the original model said it should.
Mm-hmm.
So they've developed a new model that fits the data and shows that, wow, we have a really unusual, unique system that that shows that our wells, that most of the water that falls in the Lihue Basin actually moves right to the streams. It doesn't move down through the ground to collect in this aquifer like it does on other islands.
Mm-hmm.
And so then what that means then is that when we put a well in, you're competing with the streams.
You're taken away directly.
You're taken away.
We have a caller. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, very interesting. I wanted to back up, and the lady who just called about the voting and Hawaiian issues. I'm not Hawaiian, and I've often thought that. I don't want to stick my nose in Hawaiian business. And I really think that the activists should try to get that changed, that only they would vote. Okay? And my other concern is, does anybody know what the heck that plane is doing at the airport that's supposed to be connected with the Ebola? That's all. Good program. Thank you.
Well, thank you. The plane at Lihue, I guess it's doing some military support work. I'm not sure exactly what that means, but from what I've understood, that it's frequently here on Kauai. It gets used for activities associated with the missile range on the west side. Other than that, I'm not sure more about that. There was a article in the paper, of course, 2 weeks ago or a week and a half ago. We had a caller let us know about that here, that plane was on island and had been used to transport. It's one of two planes transporting medical emergency victims, and one was an Ebola victim from East Africa or West Africa coming to the mid-Atlantic. But other than that, I don't remember the first part of that question. So sorry about the Hawaiian, if you will, representation and that issue. It's one that we struggle with, if you will, as occupiers, as sympathizers, as allies in the struggle. How do we participate in ways that might not be offensive, or how do we participate in ways that might be supportive in the overall goal of self-determination for the Hawaiian people? Phone lines are open, 826-7771, if you want to get into the booth, talk story with us. We've got Adam Asquith, who is going to be joined by some members of the... Tell us again the law...
Yeah, we're there with the University of Hawaii Richardson School of Law, the Kahuliao Center for Excellence in Native Hawaiian Studies, Kapua Sproat from the Sproat family here on Kauai. And they are over here providing assistance to the community and the county.
Being a resource
to better understand the situation and the law behind it, so that we can make a good decision about how to address the issue.
And it's important for us. The island growth is all dependent on.
Well, it's a little bit hard to wrap your mind around. I mean, if you're the Haraguchis living down in Hanalei, you're going, yeah, if the only water problem we have is too much, right? So how can there possibly be a water problem on Kauai?
Mm-hmm.
Well, as it turns out, there is. Right? You know, we're hyper provincial here in Kauai, and that means that Lihue is very different than Hanalei. We don't have a water problem in Wainiha, but fortunately the county, in its wisdom, has said we're not going to promote growth in Wainiha, right? We're going to promote growth and development in Lihue Hanamaulu area.
That's smart growth.
But as it turns out, there's not enough water to support that planned growth, at least what's on the books and in the ground.
Mm-hmm. And we're joined on the phone, Kapua Sprout. You're on the air. Can you hear us?
I sure can. Thank you so much for having us, Jimmy.
Thank you for joining us.
So I just wanted to reiterate, as Adam has already mentioned, that tomorrow at KCC, I will be joined by some of the environmental law clinicians from the University of Hawaii's William S. Richardson School of Law. And together, like UHC Grant, we've been asked to provide some technical assistance to educate the community about the designation process, which is a formal process under the state water code that creates an area where there's an additional layer of permitting. And what that does is provide additional scrutiny and opportunities for community input and into this whole process. And so Hui Ho'opunapula Nawai Opuna is a community group that has announced its intention to add this extra layer of protection in the Hanamaulu Aquifer in particular. And so, like UHC Grant, we're just providing some technical assistance to help the community better understand the process and its positive aspects and drawbacks.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us a little bit about the student interaction? So you said the law clinicians I want to say interns, but they're more than that. They're doing the hard work and the research?
They are. So the Environmental Law Clinic is actually a course that's offered at the University of Hawaii. It's for second and third year law students, and it gives the students the opportunity to sort of practicing law. And we've been very fortunate to be supported with funding from the Office of Hawaiian Affairs that allows us to provide free legal services to folks beyond Oahu. And so we've worked on all of the major islands on a whole range of issues, and this semester, given this issue that's facing us on Kauai, the clinic has been asked to help provide some technical assistance. So the students have been working very hard, doing their research, trying to understand things like the public trust and the precautionary principle, as well as this legal process for designating water management areas. And tomorrow, they'll be providing information on all of that for the community members.
Mm-hmm. And how will this presentation go tomorrow? Is there going to be opportunity for folks to interact as audience members, to ask questions, or is it just going to be as audience members you're going to receive information and be impressed by that?
Well, hopefully you will be impressed for sure. But my understanding of how the process will unfold, and I'm just a presenter. It's actually organized by Makaloa, which is a group of Native Hawaiian faculty members at Kauai Community College. But my understanding is that Kumu Kehau Kikua will first open the proceeding with kind of a explanation of the significance of water to us as Kanaka Maoli. And after that, Scott Izuka, who's a hydrologist with the United States Geological Survey over on Oahu, will be providing information on the model that Adam mentioned earlier, which is, and the studies that he's done of the southern Lihue area. And then after that, I believe Adam will provide a presentation, and he can explain what that is. And to wrap it all up, the law students will be providing more context on the legal framework in particular. And after that, we hope to have opportunity for Q&A amongst all of the various speakers, because I think it's great to have folks with expertise like Scotty Zuppo, who will be coming over with USGS, as well as He'll also be accompanied by Steve Anthony, who's actually the district chief for USGS throughout the Pacific. So I think this is a great opportunity for community members who have questions to come out and let their voices be heard.
So, Kapua, if I could ask then, you're not specifically, I mean, I know that you folks have been focusing on the moku of Puna, you know, but all the other mokus of the island can truly gain some very valuable information and knowledge from you folks as well, you know, so if they came to this and participated, you know, they would be able to take some, you know, good, you know, information home and prepare themselves so if there is, you know, greater or furtherance, you know, of what you folks will be doing with the other districts that you will, you know, at that point in time, or they will be able to then prepare themselves if they do come to this workshop?
Absolutely. The information that the environmental law clinicians will be providing in particular is kind of an introduction to water law in Hawaii with a focus on water management area designation and what that means, as well as an emphasis on the public trust doctrine and the precautionary principle. And so, although this is an issue that's being contemplated and really wrestled with for the Puna district, this is something that could be considered for, you know, any area on Kauai. There are, under the Hawaii State Water Code, there are either groundwater management areas or surface water management areas that can be designated. So, for example, the entire island of Molokai is designated as a groundwater management area. And that's in part because they acknowledge a connection between the ground and surface water resources. So, for sure, if people beyond Puna are interested and want to learn about new tools that have the potential to protect their water resources, they should come and join in the conversation.
And in the course of this, do you folks already have, like, some sort of accumulation of baseline data, you know, that's going to be helping us with this in the process? You know, to make the determinations like how far have we come, you know, how much is being depleted, how much is being diverted, this kind of stuff. Are those kind of facts available to us when we come to this workshop?
Well, what we're providing in particular is kind of the information on the law. So that's not something that the environmental law clinicians will be presenting tomorrow.
Okay.
But we do have a great resource in the form of Scott Izuka, who's done extensive studies on water resources throughout Kauai and in Puna in particular. And so I think that Scott will be able to provide a lot of information for community members who might have questions about their particular area. Now, as far as exactly how much water is being used and where, I think that's something that the Commission on Water Resource Management is responsible for collecting, but that's, you know, also a lot of that information is generated by the Kauai Department of Water Supply.
Okay, thank you so much. Really appreciate that, Kapua.
Sure.
And Kapua and I were fortunate to give a presentation to Hawaiian Studies class earlier at the community college today, and Kapua showed a slide that about her work with the community on Maui, in the Naba'eha case, and how just, I think, last week there was an announcement of finally water being returned to Iao Stream after 100 years or so. And in the slide, they pointed out that it was through community activism and the power of law that the water was returned to the Naba'eha Stream. So even though there will be data presented tomorrow, and science is important in the process, ultimately it is
the law.
It's the law, and it's whether the community supports the effort to use this tool to balance the water will really be the determining factor if it goes forward or not.
Well, when I'm thinking about this as well, too, I'm hoping that some sort of a kahea has been put out to the Aha Moku, you know, representatives on this island, you know, so that they too can come, you know, glean this information, which I think will be vital, you know, as it is spread, you know, throughout the islands. And once again, I can't thank, you know, Kapua along with her, you know, clinicians, you know, that are coming and making this presentation. It's been a long time wishing, wanting, and now to finally see it come to fruition. You know, we cannot thank them enough, you know, for helping with our issues, because we do understand that there is a tremendous amount, you know, that we need to have straightened out or at least to get clarity upon.
Well, thanks so much for the opportunity. We're really grateful to be able to, you know, participate and to try to help Kokua. And But I think, you know, while we're able to share some information, really we see this as kind of a co-powering opportunity that while the students can provide information to the community, as Adam said, it's really for the folks who are most directly affected by these decisions who are going to sort of pick up the torch and carry it forward or not.
And we thank you. And once again, that's going to be held at KCC, you know, tomorrow. That is Friday, October 24th, from 9 to 12. You know,
room 106 at
room
the
106.
Office of the Continuing Education and Training.
And that's like usually right when you come in the campus, you know, off the main drive there. You know,
right? And one of the newer big buildings.
It's right to the right, right,
that's
as
right.
You come in. So hopefully there'll be some sort of markers or distinguishment. But it's pretty hard, you know, not to miss it. You know, that it's right there as soon as you come on campus. So.
And I want to reiterate what Tim was asking, in that even although there will be some specific presentations on the water situation and data in the Lihue Basin, the information that Kapua and the law students will be presenting will be relevant to water and communities throughout Kauai. So if Lihue Basin isn't your home, you don't have an issue there, you'll still benefit from hearing what they have to say because it applies to everybody.
And not only that, but, you know, it is our island. We all have a part in this, and we should support each other when it comes to these critical issues, you know, with water. Because, once again, water belongs truly, as my understanding, to all of us, you know, and not just to a handful of a few that wish to monopolize or profiteer, you know, from the expense of our public resource. You know, so we should have truly.
Well, maybe Kapua can briefly explain that. Who does water belong to in Hawaii?
Yeah.
That's a great question, and that's a big part of what the students will be explaining and presenting tomorrow, that in Hawaii, water is a public trust, which means quite simply that, exactly as you said, Tim, it belongs to all of us. So it's not mine, it's not Adam's, it's not Jimmy's or Tim's, it belongs to all of the people in common. And it's managed as a trust resource for the benefit of present and future generations. And so what that means is that there is a fiduciary obligation. So when decisions are made, decision makers need to consider more than the financial bottom line. And there are specific criteria that they need to look at, that they need to weigh. There's specific types of information that individuals who want to use this resource for their private commercial benefit have to present to decision makers. And so that's part of the information that we will be sharing tomorrow. The public trust is a very important legal doctrine that's been recognized around the world. One of the things that's so unique is that here in Hawaii, our understanding and our public trust doctrine is actually grounded in our indigenous custom and tradition. So throughout the world, when people talk about the public trust, many people think of Roman law and the way that's been developed. But here in Hawaii, our public trust goes back to Kanaka Maoli custom and tradition, because here our water was always managed for the good of people. And that's what we need to, and we're fortunate that we have this long-standing tradition. Unfortunately, for many years, water was not respected as it should have been. And so now, although we have these great laws on the books, in our Constitution and the State Water Code, it really is incumbent upon community members to bring the law to life on the ground and in the community.
So, Kapua, could you, you know, what's your opinion, I guess, on the Kahili Springs, you know, debacle or whatever's being presented here? If you have any opinion on that, you know, from a legal perspective, could you maybe share some of that with us?
Well, actually, that's part of what the students will also be sharing tomorrow.
Oh.
So for anyone who's interested in Kauai Springs, they can come to the presentation tomorrow from 9 to 12 at KCC. But the Kauai Springs decision was actually important on a number of different levels. First, I think it's really important to recognize the strong stand that Kauai County took, and the Planning Commission in particular. Because as you folks know, with the Kauai Springs decision, there is an individual water bottling company that has been operating and needed to come before the Planning Commission for some after-the-fact permits. And when they did that, the Planning Commission really took a hard look at what was being proposed and said, well, actually, this is a public resource. We need to consult the Public Utilities Commission and the Water Commission to see how this use will affect the public trust. And so I know we're getting close to the end of the hour. So in summary, after, well, basically the Planning Commission held the applicant to its burden of proof and denied their application. So that was appealed first to the Circuit Court here on Kauai, and then to the Intermediate Court of Appeals, and then to the Hawaii Supreme Court. And the Hawaii Supreme Court issued a really strong opinion that upheld the public trust and made clear that it applies to all of us, to counties, and laid out the specific criteria, again, that decision makers need to apply and that permit applicants need to put forward. And the students will be providing more information on that tomorrow.
Thank you so much. We appreciate that. Kapua Sproat joining us on the phone. Appreciate your time and energy with us, and look forward to tomorrow's presentation at Kauai Community College. Mahalo again for calling us from outside the gate, outside the box on this Thursday. Beautiful Thanksgiving Day. Tim Kalai, thank you for manning the phone.
Thank you, Jimmy.
Adam Asquith,
Adam,
thank you
Dr.
for
Adam
the continued
Asquith.
Work that you do. Yes, appreciate your mana'o and the extra effort that you go to try to keep us, you know, abreast of these issues and knowing them that there's great reasons why water is the...
Indeed.
The valuable resource that it is. I just want to go out with this one from YouTube, from the Center of Food Safety. We are the movement. Hawaii Speaks. Let folks know that Rock the Vote, an all-day celebration on Saturday, will be happening at Wilcox School, starting from mid-morning on to the afternoon. Get out and vote. Remember, the ballots are in. Polls are open. Go out and vote and get the job done. Mahalo to everybody for supporting Kauai Community Radio and for doing the work that you do.
Pa'aku a hivi I keli I kawa, oho hi a I dahana ana hue hi e hi e hi e.
Every morning I wake up, I think about 7 generations in front of me. I think about 7 generations behind me, and I think about myself here right now. I think back 7 generations and I say, did my grandparents farm this way? Did they eat this way? And I think 7 generations ahead of me and I think? What will they eat? What will they see? What will they drink? How will they farm?
I'm a singer, songwriter, activist.
Nurse practitioner.
Professor.
I'm a mom.
I'm a dad.
An educator.
I'm a Kauai County counselor.